one. Then said he to the disciples, It is impossible, but the offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against you, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against you seven times in a day, turn to thee saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. And the apostle said to the Lord, Increase our faith. And the Lord said, If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say to this sycamine tree, Be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say to him by and by, when he has come from the field, Go, sit down to meat, and will not rather say to him, Make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward you shall eat and drink? Doeth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise, when you shall have done all these things which were commanded you, say, We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, Go show yourselves to the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said to him, Arise, go your way, thy faith has made you whole. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered and said, The kingdom of God comes not with observation, neither shall they say, Lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And he said to the disciples, The days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see it. And they shall say to you, See here or see there, go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lightens out of the one part of under heaven shines into the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah came and entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be on the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him not likewise return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be 2 men in one bed. The one shall be taken, the other one shall be left. 2 women shall be grinding together. One shall be taken, the other left. 2 men shall be in the field, one shall be taken and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, Where, Lord? And he said to them, Wheresoever the body is, there thither will the eagles be gathered together. Boy, is there a bunch of garbage preached about this. And we're going to get this straightened out tonight. Because there ain't no homosexuals in here either. The 2 guys in bed together, that's a bunch of garbage. There's no men or women in this thing, see? He just said 2. So we'll get to that, okay? Need another drink. It's a good one. They're all good. Okay. Back to the first verse again. And he said to the disciples, It's impossible, but that the offenses will come. He said it's impossible that you can go through life without being offended or offending somebody. Hello? You're going to offend somebody, whether you mean to or not. It's going to happen. You know why? Because it's necessary. See? It's necessary. But that offenses will come, but woe to him through whom they come. Now, just because God said offenses need to be here, it gives nobody the right to run around offending people. Does it? Because he says, woe to you if it's coming through you. Remember Judas Iscariot? See? Woe unto him for what he did. He went out and committed suicide afterwards, didn't he? He was in a lot of pain, I guarantee you, what he walked through. See? And you know what? God's not mad at him. He did what needed to be done. Didn't he say it was written in the scriptures that this would happen? And the scriptures need to be fulfilled? And Jesus even told him, what you got to do, go do it quickly. Let's get this over with. Okay? He said it were better for him if a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast in the sea than he should offend one of these little ones. Who do you think the little ones he's talking about is? He's talking about the true sons of God. The true sons of God. He's not talking about all of humanity. He's talking about the true sons of God here. It'd be better than offend one of these little ones. And offend can mean a lot of things, you know. You can offend someone and change their whole lifestyle, can't you? You can offend someone and drive them away from you. And, you know, in religion, there's a lot of people that's offended because of what the church has done to them in their ignorance. I'm talking about the ignorance of the church. So they've offended little ones and run them off. But you know what? In that process, they need to learn something. Sometimes we need to be offended and run out into the desert someplace so we can have our little desert experience so we'll know what's coming on later on, don't we? We all have to go through them. Everybody goes to the desert. Then he says to the third verse, take heed to yourselves. Literally, you know what that take heed means? Pay attention to yourself. Oh my God, that right there settled the whole problem right there. Pay attention to who? Don't pay attention to nobody else. Pay attention to who? Yourself. That there would solve 99% of the problem right there. That one little thing. Just pay attention to yourself. If your brother trespass against you, do what? See? He said, pay attention to yourself. And if your brother does come along and offend you, what should you do? It says rebuke him, right? Well, this word rebuke here means several things. It means to reprove gently. It means caution or to express your disapproval with what he's done. In the scripture, in the New Testament, it says, if a brother sins, what should we do? Those that are spiritual do what? Restore him in a spirit of meekness. See? Not anger. You can go talk to someone when they do something wrong to you and say, hey, you know, what you did was really wrong. I'm not mad at you, but I'm letting you know you're walking someplace you shouldn't be walking. You're going to get yourself in trouble. Not with me, but God will deal with you if you don't change your ways. Okay? We can go and rebuke someone, and he said it in Matthew, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him, right? If he don't hear you, take two or three witnesses with you and tell him again. If he don't hear you, he said, let him go. Just let the ignorant be what? Ignorant. Let them go if they won't hear. But he said, if you go and rebuke your him, and if he repent, and that means to think differently, to reconsider, or to change his mind, if he changes his mind once you come to him and confront him and say, hey, you know, what you did to me wasn't right. I'm not mad at you, but I'm telling you, you know, you did something that really hurt me, or hurt other people by doing this thing. And if he says, really, what to do? Because, you know, a lot of times people do things and are not aware of what they did. A lot of times they do it and they think they're totally innocent in what they're doing, and they are probably totally innocent in their understanding of what they did, even if it did offend somebody. So if the person says, well, I'm sorry, what do you got to do? You got to let it go, see? I don't care how bad it hurts, you got to let it go. Huh? Sure you do, but I'm saying if you go to him and tell him about it, he says go rebuke him about it, and if he repents, forgive him. And he says, if he trespass against you seven times in a day, seven times in a day turns to you saying, you know, I'm sorry, I forgot, I blew it. You know, I'm reconsidering this thing. I'm changing the way I'm thinking. I don't have a right to be doing this, right? What are you supposed to do? He said, forgive him. Now, the word thou shalt isn't in there. That's something they've added. Just should say nothing more than, if he repents, forgive him. And the apostle said to him, Lord, what? Now, that's not what it says. Does anybody know what that says? The language says this, add your faith to our faith. See? He didn't say increase our faith. He said, add your faith to ours. Because the just shall live by his faith. Habakkuk 2:4. See? He didn't say increase my faith, because my faith isn't even as good as a mustard seed. If it was, I'd pick up them trees and cast them into the sea, wouldn't I? See? So it's not saying increase my faith. Well, in a sense, it would be if he puts his with mine, because I got nothing, then I'd have something. See? You see what I'm saying? It's not about my faith being increased. It's his faith in me. That's the only thing I have, because my faith is not much. I think Isaiah said it this way, my righteousness is like filthy rags. See? Mine is not very much good. I want his faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed or a seed of the mustard plant, you could say to the sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. See, if your faith was as the size of a mustard seed, what's that saying about most people's faith? It's very weak and very minute, if any at all. Right? Very, very minute. So he says, that's what would happen if you had any faith. So really he's telling you really don't have any. Wouldn't you agree? You better have his faith, because your faith can't do anything anyway. Well, it's realizing that anything about my natural strength self is worthless, and realizing that he's everything. Didn't he say, you can do nothing without me? Didn't he say another place, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you? We have to realize it all comes through him. It's nothing to do with us. We're just a vessel that he pours through. Okay? Verse 7. But which of you... Look it up in the Living Bible for me. I'll read it in a minute. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say to him, not by and by, but immediately when he has come in from the field, come and sit down and eat? And will you not say... The word rather shouldn't be there. Would you not say to him, prepare something for dinner and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drank, and afterwards, or after this, you shall eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded or prescribed to him? I think not. So likewise you, when you shall have done all those things which are prescribed to you, say, we are as servants not worthy of praise. We have done that which was our what? Obligation to do. Let me read this to you in the Living Bible. Sometimes this Living Bible can be absolutely right on the money. 17 verse 7 is where I'll start. When a servant comes in from plowing or taking care of sheep, he doesn't just sit down and eat, but first prepares his master's meal and serves him his supper before he eats his own. And he is not even thanked, for he is merely doing what he is supposed to do. Just so, if you merely obey, you should not consider yourselves worthy of praise, for you have simply done your duty. You hear what I'm saying? See, everybody thinks in the church realm, if they do something they're supposed to, the next thing they do is they begin to brag about, look what I've done. What is that? Pride. He said, all Jesus is telling us here, look, when you've done what you've been commanded to do or prescribed to do, guess what?
You're just doing what you're supposed to be doing, so why should I be patting you on the back? See, you're just doing what you're supposed to do. Does that make sense to you? Huh? It was works if that's what you're doing, see? And that's not what counts. I'm just doing what I'm told. I never come up with the idea. You never come up with the idea. See? If we read the book and just do what we're told, guess what? How can we take any credit for it? See? We got to get ourselves out of this picture. It's not I that lives, but the Christ that lives within us. It's not about any one of us as an individual. It's about the Christ that indwells each one of us. It's not an individual passage here. Okay. Verse 11. Beautiful parable coming up here. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered, and I'm going to read this little passage of it, and then we'll come back and address it again. As he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers that stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, teacher, master, have mercy on us. Okay? Now, let me set this parable up. It came to pass as they went through where? What is Jerusalem? It's the religious capital of the world. But see, that's in a negative context. But in a positive context, it's a highest realm of truth. There's a positive context to it. Okay? Mount Zion is in there, isn't it? The highest mountain of Jerusalem. That's the highest realm of it. So we're going to see this as a positive thing, and I'll show you in a minute. As he passed, as he was going to Jerusalem, let me do it this way on the board. As he was going to Jerusalem up here, okay, we're going to put number 3 right beside of it. He had to go through Samaria and where? Galilee, right? Galilee and Samaria. You see what I'm talking about? He was on his way there, but first he had to go through these other two realms, Samaria and Galilee. The word Galilee means the heathen circle. What day would that be? It'd be your Passover experience, the dust realm. Samaria. Samaritan is a mixture between the Jews and the Greeks. Two. Wonder what realm that might be. Pentecost. See? So on your way to Tabernacles up here in Jerusalem, guess what? You got to go through the first two. How many times have you heard me say, you can't take a third step until you've took the first step and the second step? You think God's crazy? He's laid it right out here perfectly for you, hasn't he? So he said they have to go through Galilee and Samaria, right? The Passover and Pentecost realms to get the tabernacles. Now he's telling you, that's what you got to do. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men. What does 10 speak of here? No. Here it speaks of all of humanity. Speaks all. Watch the picture and I'll show you. All of humanity is this, 10. Okay? That's all of them. Well, look here at this. Watch this. 10 men that were what? What does leprosy normally represent? Sin. So how many have sinned? Romans 3, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? Romans 11, 32, yeah, 32 said he's concluded all in unbelief, that how many would he have mercy on? All. Romans 5, 12, all men died through one man, Adam. All men made alive through Christ. Okay? Romans 5 and 12. So he's saying, he met their humanity. And they were all sinners, they were all lepers, which stood afar off. Literally, all of humanity was separated from God. They were separated in their minds, in the ignorance of their own minds, they were separated from God. And Jesus come down the road. Wasn't he the Lamb that came to take away the sin of the world? And when you took away the sin of the world, guess what he did? He reconciled man, humanity, back to Christ, back to Father, to God, through Christ. He's the mediator between man and God. And that's what he's doing in this parable. And he said, when they saw him, look what they did. They lift up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, Teacher, have mercy on us. And when he saw
He said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And it came to pass as they obeyed, the word not went, it's obeyed, as they obeyed, they were cleansed. You want to know how to be cleansed? Obedience. He said, "I'd rather have obedience than sacrifice." It's not about all the things that you give. It's about being obedient to what God said. And when I'm obedient, you know what happens to me? Like I told that man from California yesterday, Thomas is listening. Is it Henry Thomas? Something J. Thomas. Okay. Yeah, Henry J. Thomas, that's his name. When I was talking with him, I said, you know, whenever God gets a hold of you and you see the truth, guess what? Everything changes. You can't do anything except what He does. Because it's taking the mind of humanity out of you and putting the mind of Christ or the heart of the Father in you. And God so loved the world, what did He do? He gave. So what are you going to start doing? You're going to give everything. See, we're not talking just finance. We're talking everything. Everything becomes Father. It always was. We just thought it was ours. And see, now we become a vessel that God can pour through, because it's not going to get caught in your fingers anymore. See, it can just pass on through. It don't mean nothing. It's just stuff. It can just pass right on through. So we know that when we get a hold of each other, when we get a hold of God, man, it's going to be great. But as they went, or as they obeyed, they were cleansed. Now, realize now, when this came, when Jesus come to be the sacrifice, the final sacrifice, they were still under the law, true or false. That's why He had to tell them, go show yourself to the priest. He didn't respect the law. He didn't disrespect the law. He still honored the law, because the law was the law of God. Okay? We call it the law of Moses. But who gave the law? Well, sure they were. Absolutely. But they had to go and respect. He had to respect the law, because the law was still God, even though it was insufficient to bring at the time. That was just enough to take us through. The law was a schoolmaster. Yeah, they'd meddled already. And one of them... And there it says, one from out of them. Now let me show you something. How many was there? And He said, one. What is that? That's one-tenth, right? Or it's a tithe. And this book says He's looking for a tithe from where? The earth. What are you? He's not looking for money. That's just one expression of it. But He's looking for the tithe. And the tithe is synonymous to this word. First. Fruit. Right there. Remember the very first word in the Bible? Reshith. And everybody says beginning. But it means, it says specifically first fruit. That's what God's dealing with. All the rest of it's not in there. See, He's not worried about the other nine right now, because He's working on one project, first fruit. When the first fruit get done, guess what they're going to do? Take care of the other 90. Okay? But one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice... Now, I thought this is cute. What kind of a voice did he do it with? What did he do? Doesn't that sound like a Pentecostal? Getting ready to go into tabernacles now? With a loud voice he glorified God. See? Sound like that Pentecostal realm. He's heading for Jerusalem now. I just thought that was funny when I saw it. Yeah. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a what? Told you he was a Pentecostal. I told you he was a Pentecostal. See, he was Samaritan. Told you. See, there's a witness of it. But he was a Pentecostal. And he realized, hey, this is something going on here.
He said in his mind, I guarantee you, he said, wait a minute. I can see these guys all going down the road. Glory to God. The leprosy's taken off of us. We've been healed. We're all Pentecostals. We've all been healed. Guess what? And one guy stops and watches them guys going down the road and says, what is the matter with them dummies? Don't they know? He's the one that did it. Why am I going to go talk to a priest? Something else is going on. And this guy came to his right mind. This is someone who had it written in his heart before the foundation of the world. And he come back and said, wait a minute. This man back here is the one I need to talk to. This is the one I need to talk to. I don't need to talk to that priest up there. All he can do is throw some oil in my face. This man gave me life. He stopped the disease. He took care of it. Okay? Mm-hmm. And Jesus responding said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Well, they're in la-la land with the rest of them. They're all out there just flopping around. And he said, there are not found that return to give glory to God except this stranger. You know what the word says? Except this alien, this non-Jew, or this alien. Only one non-Jew alien come back out of them 10 people. Out of all humanity, only 1/10 comes, and guess what? It ain't a Jew. How about that? You know why? Because it comes right out of the Gentile realm. Right out of the first one. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's the ones that's only going to got a chance, is the ones that come out of that heathen circle. Okay? Huh? Yep. But see, they got to come out of Galilee. See? I think something said, did anything good ever come out of, where's it at? Nazareth? Or Portsmouth? Remember that one? Okay. Oh, yeah. So he says in verse 19, and he said to him who? The one who returned and gave glory to God, go your way, your faith has delivered you or made you whole. Now notice something. All 10 of them were what? And all 10 of them became what? No, they become cleansed. But only one of them was made whole. There's a difference. Leprosy, you lose vital parts of your body. Fingers, toes, ears, nose, feet. They fall off, don't they? Now, if you stop the leprosy, it does not restore you. What does it do? It just stops it where it's at. You'll stay the same way you are. But when you've been made whole, tell me something, what happened there? It means you went back to the way you were. I think something like Jubilee just took place. Everything was restored back to the way it was. Right? A Jubilee takes place in the first fruit. Oh, my goodness. Beg pardon? Jubilee's 49, actually beginning, it's 7 weeks, 7 is 49, and actually the beginning of the 50th year is where it starts. It's actually 49 years, and Jubilee starts at the first day of the 50th year. 7 is like Daniel's 7 weeks. It's coming to Jubilee, and these people are trying to see some crazy thing out of it, and it ain't got nothing to do with it. But the first fruit is Jubilee. They're the ones that's being restored. Okay? See, it's not just like Jubilee's happening for the first fruit. The first fruit is Jubilee. It's being restored back to where they were at. And when they're restored back to where they were at, and Ephesians said, we were with him and chosen him before the foundation of the world. Okay? This one, first fruit, this tithe, this 1/10, was chosen with God before the foundation of the world. All he's doing now, it's just like the priests in the Old Testament when they did the first fruit offering. They walked through the field looking for one that came ripe. Oh, there's one. Hand-picked, every one of them. One stalk at a time. And then they bound them together and what it called a wave offering.
They waved it. And all that was the crucifixion. Christ, the first fruit, being lifted up. The first fruit of all creation. Sure they die. But that's their purpose. Except a grain of wheat fall to the ground and die can produce no fruit. That's the new beginning. Absolutely. Oh, there's so much stuff in here, it just blows the mind of a natural person. They can't even begin to keep up with it. Okay? Where am I at? Verse 20. I could preach that thing and stay in it and go off in a whole bunch of directions and stay there all day long, but I'm not trying to do that. I'm trying to give you an outline of this thing going on. Verse 20. And when he was demanded or asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should appear, he responded to them and said, the kingdom of God appears not with observation. See, because they were looking for the kingdom of God to come physically upon the earth and take over away from those old bad Romans and let them set up there and be old bad Jews. Like they still are today. See, they were looking for God to kick somebody out and let them be the boss. And that's not what God's doing. God is taking this earth one grain of dust at a time. That's how he's taking this earth. He's not worried about the earth we walk on. He's talking about the earth we are. This earth is what he's taking. See, the kingdom of God. You know what the word kingdom is? Anyone tell me what the word kingdom is in the Greek? Basileia. Basileia means the realm or the rule of God. They use the word kingdom. That's the way they express it. But it's the realm or rule of God. When God rules in my earth, guess what? It's dominion. It's dominion, what's translated in other ways, but it's the word basileia, which means the realm or the rule of God. When this becomes the rule, the realm of God, he's already here, but when I realize that I can't fight it any longer, he's in control of this thing, it becomes the realm and the rule of God. Now sit back and let you go out and do it. See? Because it's not what you do, it's what he does. Do you hear me? You got to sit back and let God do what he wants. It's his kingdom, it's his rule, it's his realm. Don't fight it. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, because behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Now this blows the socks off of religion right here. Because he was talking to who? Who was he talking to? No. He was talking to the Pharisees. See? He was talking to the Pharisees. And the Pharisees was the bad guys. They didn't even believe that Jesus was God, did they? They didn't believe he was the Messiah. They were still looking for one to come. And Jesus was talking to him. He full well knew who he was talking to. Pharisees. He didn't say this. He said Pharisees. He knew who they were. And he said, lo, the kingdom of God is within you. Jesus had never even been crucified on the cross yet. Oh my God. Boy, that blows all their theories away, doesn't it? The kingdom's already in the Pharisee. My God. You know why? Because he was the Lamb slain before the conception or the foundation of this world. That's why. Because Christ was placed in us in Genesis 2:7, in all of humanity, when the Yahweh Elohim formed Adam from the dust of the earth and breathed the breath of God, which is the Spirit of God, into that thing. From that point on, never was ever the man without the Spirit of God in him, whether they know it or not. Your breath is his. That's how Adam became living, by the breath coming into his body. Okay? And he said to the disciples, now see, he said that to the Pharisees, and now he's talking to the disciples and said, the day will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you'll not see it. They'll be begging for a day of the Son of Man, and they won't see it. And they shall say to you, see here or see there, says, go not after them nor follow them, because exactly like the lightning that lights out of one part of heaven under heaven, shines into the other part under heaven, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, there's a passage in Matthew 24, which we've already went over. I'm going to turn there real quick. Matthew 24, I think it's really, 27, is it? Yeah. In Matthew 24, 27, it says this, "Because as the lightning comes out of the east and shines even to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be." Guess what? This is the same it's a parallel passage to what we're looking at in Luke 17, verse 24, right? It's a parallel scripture. Now, what it's really saying is this. Let me clear this board up here and draw a picture so you can see what I'm talking about. We've got through this part of it. We can get it off. Look here. He says, as the lightning, is that what it says? Comes from the east. And I'm going to make this the earth right here. The lightning comes from the east and goes to the what? Well, guess what? That word lightning is not lightning. It's light. What light comes out of the east? S-O-N. See? He's putting a parallel. He's showing you an analogy here. He's saying, as this light comes out of the east and shines to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, look at what he's showing you. How does the sun come? Talk to me. Come on, talk to me. A big C word. Continually. Continually. The sun never stops, does it? I mean, it's always coming to some place on this earth, isn't it? And he said, that's the way the Son of Man is going to be. It's always going to be coming. The kingdom of God is going to be coming always, continually. It's just going to continually keep coming. See, it's not going to be a big flood all at one time, because as the sun passes over, he shines on some and some he don't. Next time around, he'll shine on another one. See, whoever he desires it to be. Every man in his own order. Exactly right. So when he says this, he's saying, as the light that comes out of the west, out of the east into the west, he's talking about the sun. Which sun's he talking about? Yes. Yes. S-U-N, S-O-N? Yes. Both. Because they're a parallel. But that's the way it's coming. Continually. He said, but first, he must suffer many things. He's saying, but first, before this kingdom comes to this earth, before this light of God comes into this world, first he must do what? He must suffer and be rejected of this generation or by this age. He needs to be rejected and suffer. What's he telling you? Jesus said, I know what's going to happen. They're going to reject me, and I'm going to suffer much pain for humanity. That's what it's going to be. Every son that is connected to Christ, guess what they're going to do? They're going to be rejected, and they're going to suffer just like him. He says I can't think of the verse right now, but he says, I can say it. He said, if you're going to reign with me, you're going to first suffer with me. If you don't suffer with me, you'll not reign with me. Beg your pardon? Age, really.
The special
day of where we live is our time now of this day or age. That's what it is. We got to be rejected. See, you got to be rejected by this age that we live in today. See, he said, if you're a friend of the world, you're what? You're an enemy of God. See, we got to be rejected by this age. It's the whole age thing, the whole concept that this age and world has, the people have. We got to be rejected by that. There's no other way. He was. We got to walk the same thing. That's just the way it is. Okay? So first, that's got to happen before this light comes, okay? Because until Jesus died, he couldn't bring the life back to us, could he? We got to do the same thing. We got to walk that. We got to go through the heathen circle, Galilee. We got to go through Samaria to get to Jerusalem, to Mount Zion. That's just the way it is. So he tells you another pattern in verse 26. Now, this is the verses that people talk about raptures and all that stuff. Okay? And it says in verse 26, as it was in the day, not days plural, but the day. There's no plural word in this. It's a singular word. In the day of Noah, so shall it be in the day of the Son of Man. Okay? In Noah's day, going to be the same way when Christ comes in your life. Now watch what happens. It ain't talking about some flyaway rapture. Ain't no bus going to come and pick you up. Oh, this is talking about what's going to happen within you. This is an internal message because God is an internal God working inside of you. And if we don't get our mind right, guess what? We're going to keep looking out there for some bus to come and pick us up or some spaceship behind a comet. It's never going to happen, ever. We've got to realize this is something taking place internally in us. So as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the day of the Son of Man. When the Son of Man comes up in your life, when the day star raises in your life, this is what's going on. You were eating, you were drinking, you were marrying and given in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. All he's saying, Noah was a type of who? Christ. And what did he do? He entered the what? The ark. And the ark represents the presence of God. In the day that you enter the presence of God, something's going to happen. I'm going to get excited and preach. Because when you enter into the presence of God, now something happens. And it ain't a rapture. Something's going to happen. Look what happens. He said the flood came and destroyed them all. Now, question. Who was the all? It wasn't all humanity. It was the wicked. The whole world laid in wickedness. But Noah was chosen as righteous, his wife and their three sons and their daughters. Total of eight people, but speaks of a new beginning. But look what happened. In the day of the Son of Man, when he comes into your life, just like Noah, when Noah stood into the presence of the Lord, guess what? Something happened. The wicked was taken away. Notice that they were in the ark, right? And the flood came, but the wicked was destroyed, not the righteous, were they? No. No, it's totally different. But see, the wicked was taken away. Proverbs 2, 21 and 22 says this, the wicked shall not inhabit the earth, the transgressors shall be rooted out of the earth, and the righteous shall never be removed from the earth. Hello. He's saying, Christ is the righteous. He will never be removed out of my earth. But the wicked in me will be. That ought to make you shout. That ought to make you so happy to know that God said, I began a good work in you and I will complete it. I'm the author and the finisher of your faith. You didn't start nothing. I'm going to do it. That's the new covenant. I'm going to do it all for you. Isn't that like a father? Same as Hebrews 8, verse 8 through 13. Same place, same passages. Okay? He said, likewise, verse 28, or similarly, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, right, and it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Let's go back to 28 and look what it says. Likewise also as the days of Lot. What does Lot represent? He was a veil, a flesh. He was the veil over their minds. Okay, the fleshly thinking is what Lot represents in symbolism. So in the day of the flesh, here's what happens. You eat, you drink, you plant, you marry, you buy, you sell. You do all them worldly things that the flesh has to do. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, and Sodom means burning, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Now hang on a minute here. Fire and brimstone is not no bad thing. Fire is correction. Fire will correct things that's wrong. It'll destroy bad things and make everything back the way it should go. And brimstone is the Greek word theon, which means sulfur. And sulfur is for purification. So we're talking about here something being corrected and purified. And it said, and destroyed them all. Okay? Now, what did it destroy? All the wicked people in Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. True or false? And Lot and his wife and... problem, walked down the road, didn't they? They were the righteous ones. They didn't leave the earth, did they? They just walked down the road and went into a cave. Ended up in a cave and then come out in a mess, but they did. Okay? So he didn't leave the earth, so they can take their rapture theory and throw it away because Lot did not leave the earth. And guess what? Noah didn't either. If Noah got raptured, then every time I go fishing out in the boat, guess what I get? I get raptured again. Come on, it's stupid. Nowhere does this ever point to that. It's talking about the wicked taken out from amongst us. Let me go back to Proverbs chapter 2. Yeah, Proverbs chapter 2. Turn back here with me for a minute. Proverbs chapter 2. And I want to read this to you. I want you to see it yourself, so I'm not just saying it. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 21 and 22. It says, because the upright shall dwell in the land. What's the upright? The righteous or the just. And the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. Now, which one's going away? The wicked. See, even if their theory is right about somebody flying away, they got it backwards. Because the wicked's going to go away, and the righteous is going to stay. And see, they, in the rapture theory, they teach you that the wicked is going to stay on this earth and be punished, and the righteous is going to fly away off into heaven somewhere. Well, if that part's wrong, guess what? All the rest of it is too. There ain't no flying away. He never said to do that anywhere. Let me read you another verse in Proverbs 10. Verse 31. Look what it says. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth, much more the wicked and the sinner. Guess where it's all going to take place? Wonder where it's going to take place. You know what? I read that to you out of 11. Excuse me. It's 10:30. Proverbs 10:30. I was reading in Proverbs 11, but that still goes with it anyway. But see? I said the one and went to the other one because they both go together. Wasn't coincidence, I guess, was it? Proverbs 10:30 says, "The righteous shall never be removed." Hello? The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. See, it's not talking about wicked people walking on the earth being taken away. It's the wickedness is going to be taken out of my earth because Christ is going to kick them out. Right? And then I read 31 over in chapter 11, which is, "Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth, much more the wicked and the sinner." And I can show you a whole list of scriptures on this stuff, and I don't want to get off on that rapture thing because that's not where I'm going. It's not the intent of what I'm doing. Okay? Verse 30. We're at back in Luke 17, verse 30. "Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." Now, what's he talking about? He said it's going to be the same way as it was with Lot, and the same way it was with Noah, in the day that the Son of Man is revealed, where? In you. When God reveals Himself in you through Christ, guess what's going to happen? The wicked's taking a hike. My God, that ought to make you happy. This foolishness about flying into the sky don't do nothing for you. That'll never change you. Not once would ever anybody been changed by the promise of flying into heaven. But you know what will change you? By Christ being revealed in you. He is the light and the life. And when that's revealed in you, wickedness cannot stand. It can't be there. It's an impossibility. When light comes in this room, darkness is dispelled how quickly? And it's the same thing when that sun comes in your life. You've got no choice with anything except the darkness is dispelled instantly when Christ is revealed in you. That's why so many people walk around saying, "Oh, I'm a Christian." But they're black as the ace of spades in their hearts because the light has never been revealed in them. They did something that mommy wanted me to do, grandma wanted me to do, grandpa wanted me to do, somebody wanted me to do it, but not God. God didn't call them. So their hearts are still black. That don't mean nothing bad about them. It's the condition of all humanity. Until God chooses in His time to reveal something to somebody. It's all about Him. It's not about us. I'm positive this book says it's His will, not our will. It's not about me making a choice. It's about me obeying Him. Okay? Verse 31. In that day, what day is that? The day He's revealed in you. He says, in the day that He's revealed in you, He said, if you happen to be up on the housetop and your stuff's in the house, let Him not come down to take it away. Okay? And he that's in the field, let him likewise not return to the things that he left behind. You know what that's saying? He's not talking about garbage out here we own. He's talking about don't go back to Passover and Pentecost. Once you know that the Son of God's revealed in you, don't go back there and pick up all those traditions. Acts 27, verse 19 and 20. On the third day, you lighten the ship with your own hands. I passed the line tonight, Bob. I can't help it. You've got to realize that this is something he's talking about, a reality in us. We can't go back and partake of those things that was death and destruction. They were man-made traditions. They were law. And the law could never make you perfect. Could it? All the law did was make you remember one thing. I come this year and I give my offering. I slay my little lamb or my dove or my goat or whatever I'm doing. And I make my offering. And you know what it makes me think of? God, I got to do this again next year. Over and over again. But whenever that day that sun is revealed in my life and in your life, you don't never have to have a sacrifice again. You are free never again to sacrifice. All I have to do is obey my Father. Oh, God. It's all there is, brother. Obey it. Just obey it. That's all there is. Whew. Remember Lot's wife. Don't look back. See, she left Sodom and Gomorrah. She left Passover and Pentecost. That's what Sodom and Gomorrah is. In the parable, that's what they are. It's Passover and Pentecost. Don't go back to the harlot's way of living. Don't go back to that worldly way. Oh, geez. Look at verse 33. Whosoever shall seek to not save, the word here is buy. To buy his what? Soul. It's the word suke. Whosoever shall seek to buy his soul, buy it by what? Works. That's what we're trying to do. Church is trying to work your way into the kingdom of God. You don't work your way in there. You're there because God placed you there. He said, if you try to buy it, you'll lose it. And whosoever shall lose his soul shall preserve it. How about that? Look at here. Isn't that just what happened in Lot and in Noah? He's telling you the same thing in another little parable. Telling you the same story again. It's not in your works. It's not what you do. It's what God is doing for you. There's the key to the whole thing. Relax. Labor to enter into my rest. The hardest thing you got to do is get to Mount Zion. And then what do? Rest. I'm laboring to get to the top of the mountain so I can rest. I don't have to labor anymore. I'm there. I'm in Mount Zion. I don't have to labor when I get there. It's rest. Okay? It means to try to save it so you don't lose it. It's trying to preserve it. Trying to physically save the life. It's trying to physically save this thing here. And that's all the church is trying to do today. They're trying to fluff and buff this thing and save it. Man, my body's so old and broke down, I don't want to stay any too long than I have to. I'm looking forward to a new one. You know what I mean? Something better than this thing. I mean, it's served its purpose, but boy, I'm telling you, it's about wore out.
So you're saying that if you have the attitude that church can't go ahead and lose your life,
then you're going to save it. That's the way you save it. But when you try to preserve it by doing, like these people running around afraid to drink water because it's contaminated, has to be bottled water, and take these little wipes and wipe everything so it'll be clean, you know. It's fear. It's not God's love. It's not freedom. It's not peace in your mind. I can't die till God wants me to die. It's okay. That's the way it is. Okay, now, verse 34. I tell you that in that night there shall be two, and the word men is not there, it's an added word. So them preachers can say all that contaminated stuff they want to about homosexuals. That's not about two men being in bed. It said two will be in bed. Okay? Didn't say any sex. And if they paid attention to their Bible very much, when we're talking about the spirit realm, it says very clear that there's no male and female. See? We're talking spiritual things here. They want to talk that trash, let them go ahead and talk it, but they don't know what they're talking about. I tell you that night there shall be two in one bed, the one shall be taken, the other and left. Now, if you think that this is talking about two physical people laying in one bed, you're kidding yourself. We're talking about the same thing that happened with Lot and Noah. There was two there. There was duality there. There was the Christ laying in that bed along with the natural man. Well, which one do you think is going to be taken away? The natural man's gone and the one left is Christ. That's all he's trying to tell you through this whole thing. Oh God, help us. Verse 36. Two men shall be in a... No, I missed 35. Two, and the word women isn't there. Added word. If your Bible should have it in italics. It's an added word. Two shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken, the other one left. What does grinding represent? Grinding is grinding up the grain. We're talking about grinding grain. Grain, wheat, represents the Word of God. So you got two people laboring in the Word of God. One of them is Christ, and one of them isn't. Now I wonder which one's going to be gone. I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure this one out, do you? God's going to remove the wicked, the natural, and leave the spiritual man standing. When everything else is gone, guess what's left? Christ. The Spirit of God. All there is left. My God, help us. Verse 36. Two shall be in the field. The one shall be taken, the other left. The field just speaks of the world. Two's in the world. Didn't I just read to you in Proverbs? The righteous shall never be removed from the earth. But one of them is going to be. It's going to be the natural man. The dust returns to the dust from where it came, and the Spirit returns to God who gave it. Jesus said, Father, make them one with me as I am one with you. So that where you are, we'll all be. We're going to be back with Him. Oh, God. And they answered and said to Him, boy, oh boy. They said to Him, Lord, where, Lord? And He said to them, where the body is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Now, this is not the same as Matthew 24. In Matthew 24, it said, where the bodies are, there will the vultures be gathered together. That's a different word. It's, that body there is carrion in Matthew 24. Here in Luke, the word is soma, the sound whole body, as the ecclesia, the called out ones. The sound, whole body. He said, that's where they'll be. They'll be here where, when there's, it says, where are they being taken to? He said, this, and they answered and said, where, Lord? And He said, wheresoever the body is, will the eagles be gathered together. Because it's a sound, whole body being formed together. Is there anything wrong with the body of Christ? See? What the church portrays Him as a crippled, blind, deaf, bleeding and dying person. He is perfect. He always has been perfect, always will be perfect, and as part of His body, you're perfect also. I'm not talking about this church realm stuff. I'm talking about the reality of being part of the body of Christ. Man, if I could take this message and download it into the minds of humanity, God, would I do it. But see, they can't hear. And if they can't hear this, they'll continue in all this fear, intimidation, manipulation, witchcraft, control. That's all the churches want to do. God said He come to set you free. And the church ain't trying to free anybody. They're trying to put you in bondage. They want to lock you up where they can control you. That's not God's word. He said, I want to set you free. Isn't it wonderful? I mean, I can't even express what goes through me when God opens this Word of God up to me. I can't even tell you what it feels like. It's, you can't even think, you could think 440,000 volts run through you and it's nothing. It's a tingle compared to what it feels like when He opens up and shows you something. This book says that kings and angels have desired to look into this thing. You know how many times I've asked Him, why me? Why do you let me see this? And you know what the answer was? Why not? Why not? So I don't ask it anymore. But it doesn't mean I'm any less blown away by it every time. It's like any time I do it, it's like the first time. It's the same emotion, the same feeling every time I do it. I don't come in here and try to perform for you. That ain't it. That's not what it's about. I'm trying to minister life to you that He's put in me. And I don't care who knows me or who don't know me. If you're around me a few minutes, if you don't know God's in me for a truth, they got a problem. Because you're going to see it. I can't help it. I can't help being what I am. I'll never apologize for it. But I'm having a ball. Life is hell, and I'm having a ball right in the midst of it. Didn't David say, if I make my bed in hell, you're still there with me? Well, you know, I know what he's talking about. I can walk right through the midst of all this hell that the world throws at us. And you know, usually most of the hell that comes on us, who sends it to us? We usually have it delivered. We call for takeout. Say, would you deliver some hell to me? Because we usually do it to ourselves. Isn't it the truth? Yeah. See? And put a double pepperoni on that hell when you send it. It'll be done by the time it gets here. See? Right? I'm serious. That's what we do. And if we can look at this and laugh at it, man, you realize what you've done to it? You turn the light on in your head, and the darkness has to go away. The ignorance has to leave. Oh.